Good morning, everybody. Great day to be here in Minnesota at the Workforce, Labor, and Economic Development Finance and Policy Meeting here on March 25th. So welcome and good morning. We have a number of bills today we want to cover, and we want to get right to it. Members, I do see we have a quorum, and I'd like to be able to look for a motion from Vice Chair Mecklen on the minutes for March 20th for any further discussion or movement.
So moved. Mr. Chair.
Any questions, members, on March 20th? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Minutes are carried for March 20th, 2025. Looking at today's agenda, members, we've got four bills in front of us. We've got some agency presentations and just kind of built into those bills. We've got one that will move on to another committee. Otherwise, these bills mostly will be laid over, and we'll kind of talk about those when we get to each one of the bills. So, first up, let's go right to House File 1007. That'll be with Representative Norris. If you'd come forward, along with co-presenting with Representative Jeff Witte. I always like to see that in our committee, and we're going to be talking about our World Junior Hockey Tournament. So, members, welcome. I know we've got a few testifiers, and I will let you guys get settled in, talk about the bill, and we'll move to testifiers. So, welcome to the committee. Chair will move House File 1007 for later consideration for a bill. To you, Representative Norris.
Great. Thank you, Chair Baker and members of the committee. I'm pleased to be here co-presenting this bill with my co-author,
Thank
Representative
you.
Witte, showing the bipartisan support behind this bill that is really about the state of hockey. Minnesota has 135 community-based hockey associations and 30 collegiate hockey teams. Our state produces more college hockey players than any other state or Canadian province. And there are nearly 50,000 registered hockey players in Minnesota, ages 18 and under. Hockey is one of the things we're best known for here in Minnesota. Ice runs through our veins, and that's why we're here today. At the end of this year, starting on December 26, 2025, and running through January 5th, 2026, Minnesota will be the center of the hockey world when we host the World Junior Hockey Championship at the XL Energy Center and 3M Arena at Mariucci. The 29-game tournament features the best players in the world under 20 years of age, competing for their home countries. Tournament and exhibition games will be held in seven cities across Minnesota. There will also be training sites around the state, including in my district, up in Blaine at the National Sports Center. And for many Minnesotans, experiencing this tournament will be a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. This championship has only come to the U.S. seven times, and the last time Minnesota hosted it was way back in 1982. And with that, I'll turn it over to my co-author, Representative Witte, for more.
Welcome, Representative Witte. Please proceed.
Thank you, committee members. I had this urge to check Representative Norris. I don't know if it's the bill or what, but I held back. World Juniors is expected to draw 250,000 spectators from across the country and around the world. U.S. Hockey estimates the tournament will generate an economic impact of more than $75 million for our state. This includes all the businesses business that visitors will bring to our hotels, bars, restaurants, the airport, and our local businesses and more. Thousands of international travelers will flock to our state, and we're not just talking about the Twin Cities. Pre-tournament exhibition matches will bring fresh eyes to every corner of our state, from Bemidji to Duluth to Mankato and Rochester. Cities across our state will be flooded with hockey fans eager to experience their communities, and thousands of young Minnesotans will be inspired by watching the world's best players compete on behalf of their country. And it's not just the tournament. Minnesota Sports and Events, the organization that procures these type of events for our state and that is representing themselves here today, has a variety of events for all to take part in, even if you're not a hockey fan. World Juniors is a rare opportunity to showcase the state of hockey in front of the world and stimulate our local economy while creating an unforgettable experience for hockey fans from every corner of the globe. We have three testifiers in support of our bill: hockey legend Lou Nanny, St. Paul Mayor Melvin Carter, and MNSE CEO Wendy Blackshaw. And I'll turn it over to them. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Representative Witte and Representative Norris, for opening up this discussion. And again, we're honored to have many of our testifiers here today, so thank you. We're going to start off with, of course, the famous Coach Lou Nanny, and I have to ask the question, where in the world is Lou Nanny this morning? Got to have an idea than that. So welcome, Coach, and please introduce yourself and proceed.
I'm Lou Nanny. I'm in North Palm Beach, Florida. And Co-Chair Baker, Co-Chair Pinto, and committee members, I want to thank you all for giving me the opportunity to reiterate how important this tournament is. You know, this year is 60 years from when I first represented the USA playing in Moscow and Kiev. And since that time, I've served in so many committees and board, foundation board, etc. And I can only tell you the crown jewel of international ice hockey, obviously, is the Olympics. The next thing is this tournament. And we are very fortunate as the state of Minnesota to be able to get the opportunity to host this, because this is going to be a two-week commercial for the state of Minnesota, showing it in its all of its glory and capabilities. And I really feel that you have to look at this not as an expense, but as an income generator, because that's what it's going to be. Besides being a tremendous tournament and being a great deal of entertainment for the hockey fans, this is going to get people the opportunity to see all of Minnesota and enjoy its great state here of all the capabilities we do have to talk about. I know that it's hard to visualize the importance of this, but I want to tell you, after 60 years of sitting on the board or playing in different tournaments and representing the U.S. and a lot of things, when Wendy Blackshaw told me we had the opportunity to get this, I was ecstatic. And I was also upset that USA didn't just right away award us instead of looking at other communities that wanted it. We had to fight for it. And I really took it as an offense that we didn't get it immediately, because we deserve this. Everybody else in the hockey world loves to have it. But the state of Minnesota, as was just pointed out, is a preeminent state in hockey in the U.S. And this is something that we should have on our mantle as another award that we deserve and have the opportunity to showcase the state. So thank you for considering this. Thank you for all your help. I want to tell you that it's going to be one of the great experiences we've ever had in Minnesota, and I certainly am looking forward to it myself. And I definitely will answer any questions that you have about it.
Thank you very much, Coach. We really appreciate having you this morning here. So maybe just hang on in case there are questions. With that, I want to welcome Mayor Melvin Carter to the testifying table. Mayor, would you please introduce yourself and please proceed.
Yes, good morning, Chair Baker, Chair Pinto, members of the committee. I'm St. Paul Mayor Melvin Carter, and I rarely feel smaller than going after Coach Nanny, so bear with me. Thank you for the opportunity to testify in support of this proposal offered by Representatives Norris and Witte for a $5 million grant to assist with costs related to the International Ice Hockey Federation's 2026 World Junior Hockey Championships. The World Junior Hockey Championship is one of the most prestigious international tournaments in hockey, featuring the best young players from around the world and serving as a major launching pad for future NHL stars. Minnesotans like Brock Faber, Neil Broughton, Blake Wheeler, and Phil Housley are among Team USA World Junior players who turned pro and whose legacy is and continues to leave an indelible mark on this sport. The World Juniors is one of the most watched hockey events in the world, drawing in millions of viewers from televisions and through sellout crowds. Think of it as a mix between March Madness and the Olympics, mixed with the pride and passion of the state hockey championships. Events of this caliber put St. Paul and Minnesota on the global stage, showcasing our city and our state as a premier destination for world-class hockey competition and hospitality. An estimated 250,000 fans from around the globe we'll fly to Minnesota, stay in our hotels, use our transit, shop at our local businesses, and spend money at our bars, restaurants, and other attractions. The World Junior Championship is a catalyst for extraordinary economic activity, offering the possibility of an estimated $75 million economic boost to our community and state. This reinforces that value of investing in and supporting major international events in St. Paul, throughout the metro, and across our state. We proudly boast that St. Paul is the capital city of the state of hockey, which means we embrace the winter and all that it has to offer. We're home to the Minnesota Wild and the inaugural Walter Cup champions, the Minnesota Frost, who you all recognized on the House floor yesterday. And just down the street at the Xcel Energy Center, the school state hockey tournament and NCHC Frozen Faceoff has wrapped up, drawing in tens of thousands of fans to St. Paul to watch elite-level hockey. We know how to do hockey well in St. Paul. This is our opportunity to raise the bar. The grant from Explore Minnesota supports our ability to deliver an event that will set a new standard, not just for future tournaments, but for how we host other major events across the state. These funds help ensure athletes, fans, and visitors from around the world experience the very best of Minnesota hockey and hospitality. This is an enormous opportunity to provide an unforgettable experience and position ourselves to attract more tourism, more economic vitality, and more opportunities to host large-scale events. Our partner at Minnesota Sports and Events has an exceptional track record of planning and executing world-class sporting events like Super Bowl 52, and most recently the Team USA Olympic Gymnastics Trials last summer. Their expertise, combined with our city and community's deep hockey roots, makes St. Paul the perfect host for the World Junior Hockey Championships. With the help of this grant, we'll seize the moment and elevate our state as a global sports destination. I ask for your support today for the $5 million grant to Minnesota Sports and Events to assist with costs related to the 2026 World Juniors. I appreciate your time, and I'm certainly happy to take any questions as well once the testifiers are complete.
And thank you with that, Mr. Mayor. Appreciate your testimony today. Next up is Wendy Blackshaw. If Wendy would come forward, introduce yourself, and please continue. Welcome.
Good morning, and thank you so much, Coach R. Baker and Coach R. Pinto, members of the committee. My name is Wendy Blackshaw, and I'm president and CEO of Minnesota Sports and Events. First, thank you to the legislature for funding the U.S. gymnastics trials last summer. You made that $75 million economic impact happen. And with your support, gymnast Suni Lee was able to capture her spot on Team USA in front of her hometown fans. Thank you to Representatives Norris and Witte for carrying this bill. Minnesota Sports and Events is a 501c6 organization which exists to uplift the region's economy, reputation, and quality of life through the attraction, promotion, and execution of world-class events. Today, I'm here to talk hockey. The World Juniors Hockey Championship will bring the best young hockey players, future NHL stars, representing 10 different countries to compete in 29 total games in Minneapolis and St. Paul. As was mentioned, we anticipate over 250,000 fans attending the games at Xcel Energy and 3M Arena in Mariucci, and the free fan fests in Rice Park and in River Center. And those fans will deliver an estimated economic impact of more than $75 million. This $75 million will bring in more than $5 million in tax revenue for the state. And this is based on recent previous events. For example, gymnastics last summer generated an estimated $5.75 million in tax revenue for Minnesota. Unlike other states with competitive public funding packages for major events, we currently do not have an ongoing funding mechanism. So we are here today requesting $5 million to cover the costs associated with hosting World Juniors. The public money in this bill is reinvested in Minnesota. State funding covers expenses that stay here, such as local union labor, public safety, permitting, transportation, and operations. Thank you very much to Coach R. Baker and Coach R. Pinto and the committee for your time today. We hope you will consider our request, and we can't wait to show the world what the state of hockey is all about.
Thank you, Ms. Blackshaw. Appreciate your testimony. That's all the testimony we have on the list. In the audience, are there any other members of the audience that want to speak to this bill, either in support or opposition of this House File 1007? Seeing none, back to member questions. Any members have any thoughts or questions for the testifiers? Representative Schultz.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I think it's to your first, or your to you, ma'am. My question is, when you're considering the economic benefit that previous events have had for Minnesota, is there a way to quantify how much is from out-of-state tax dollars versus those dollars that are from Minnesotans already here?
Yeah,
Ms. Blackshaw.
That's a great question.
Ms. Blackshaw, thanks.
Yes, sorry about that. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Co-Chair. Thank you. We do an economic impact study with the University of Minnesota. They do our research, and they can look at what is spent in within the metro area as well as without. For World Juniors Hockey, we are really doing a specific study because we're doing a pre-tournament exhibition series. So there will be quite a bit of money spent outside the metro area besides just the games that are happening. So we will be doing economic impact. We also can do a ticket sales analysis and look at where the tickets are being purchased from. So for example, for gymnastics, we found that 60% of the tickets were being purchased outside the state of Minnesota.
Representative Schultz, follow-up? Okay, thank you. Chair Pinto.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Representatives Norris and Witte. It seems like a really exciting event, and to all the testifiers as well. I just want to understand, if we can just kind of break down the money piece of this, is probably from Ms. Blackshaw, sort of what will the $5 million buy, kind of how did you select that number? Perhaps the authors will comment on that. I gather the tournament's already been announced and is going to happen either way. So sort of what happens if we don't appropriate the funds? What kind of difference does that end up making in the course of things?
Ms. Blackshaw.
Thank you very much. Representative Pinto and Representative Baker and Representative, I'm sorry, I can't see.
I am Pinto. Nope. Yeah, I'm
okay. Okay.
I was the first
sorry.
One.
It's glaring. So, yes, we already have the event, and we will pay for the event with revenue from ticket sales. If we do not receive the grant, rather than having that revenue go into future events, which we have a number of them on the calendar, we will pay for the World Juniors, and we will have to freeze our bidding on future events. So that's why we are hoping that we do receive this grant so that we can go beyond just World Juniors and bring more economic impact, more state revenue, tax revenue into Minnesota. What this is paying for, so we do a bid before, you know, long before we are awarded the event. And we go through every single expense, so it's things like public safety, operations, venue expenses, you know, city services, all of the expenses that are paid for with an event such as this. And we do quite a few of these events, so we have a really good idea of how much these costs are. So that's where primarily the funding would be paying for. But again, you know, if we will pay for it with ticket revenue, and if we don't get the grant, but then it will impact our ability in the future to put on these events of this sort. And we are riding some momentum right now because of gymnastics and because of Big Ten. And so that's why we are really hoping that we can get this grant, because right now we are looked at as one of the premier cities and states to host these kind of events.
Chair Pinto.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Ms. Blackshaw. So can you talk about the sorts of events? Because it sounds like actually, even though we're talking a lot about the hockey tournament, sort of that's going to happen either way. The issue is those future events. So could you just talk about the kinds of events in a way that this $5 billion sort of is going towards? Because you know, the hockey tournament happens either way, it sounds like. But then sort of what kinds of opportunities might we be turning down or not able to apply for without these funds?
Ms. Blackshaw.
Thank you. Thank you, Chairs. Thank you, Representative Pinto. Right now we are a finalist for the 2028 USA Gymnastics Trials once again.
Okay.
So that is significant because it was such a huge success here. In addition to that, right now on the docket we have NCAA wrestling. We've got championships. We've got a preliminary NCAA men's basketball. We also have NFL draft. We have FIFA Women's World Cup. We have a number of WWE events. The list of what we are looking at right now is long, and we won't be able to do all of them, but those are the kind of events that we would have to pause on.
Okay. And final question.
Yeah, final.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Yeah, so And so it sounds like from what you're saying that the $5 million figure is to a certain extent arbitrary. It's sort of the bigger the number, then the more of those events we can be bidding for and can and do more. But I just is there any sort of magic to that exact number versus, let's say, if it was, you know, $6 million or $7 million or $4 million or $3 million, sort of the bigger the better. But is there any kind of magic to the specific number that was chosen?
Ms. Blackshaw.
Thank you, Chairs. Thank you, Representative Pinot. The $5 million is to pay for the expenses for World Juniors. Those are against actual expenses for World Juniors. It's the ticket revenue that we would generate that would pay for those events beyond.
Huh. Okay. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you, Chair.
Representative Hussein.
Thank you, both of you, for bringing forward this great bill, Representative Whitty and Representative Norris. This will benefit St. Paul, and thanks for our mayor for coming and testifying. We provided, my belief is, $1 million for last year as well, correct?
Is that a question?
Yeah.
Do you know the answer? Ms. Blackshaw?
Thank you. I'm sorry, would you...
Was it asked also $1 million for last year? Representative Jean and Representative Hassan was asked for $1 million, and this year you came back and asking $5 million. Well, why is the difference?
Well,
Ms. Blackshaw.
Thank you. Representative Hassan, so in 23 we received $6 million for gymnastics, which was to pay for gymnastics. And then last year, we did have an ask that we did not receive. And then this year, we're requesting the $5 million, which is for World Juniors Hockey, which is to pay for World Juniors Hockey.
Representative Hussein.
I just want to get this on the record. How many it will generate income? Because I know the city of St. Paul and the state will benefit this opportunity. Do you have an estimate how much will be revenue for taxpayers and, you know, like?
Ms. Blackshaw.
Thank you. What we're estimating is a $5.75 million tax revenue for the state, and that was based on the estimate from gymnastics. That's what we're estimating for World Juniors.
Representative Hussein?
I just have one follow-up
one final
question,
yep.
If you don't mind. What I'm asking is, you know, how many people will estimate, a lot of people will come, and this will generate income for the city and the state. Do you have an estimate? It will be $50 million. So, like, how many crowds? And
Ms. Blackshaw, I think that was said earlier, but go ahead and say it again.
Yes. Thank you. And I'm sorry, I didn't understand. We're estimating 250,000 people over the course of the nine-day event and a $75 million economic impact. And that's overall.
Thank you very much. Representative Zalesnikar.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you to the representatives for bringing this fantastic opportunity for Minnesota. I can't think of a better state to host this important tournament. And just listening to the way this funding works, the sales tax revenue clearly equates to the amount of money here that we're asking for, as happened with gymnastics. I think it's important for this committee to know that this is an economic engine for the state, and it's an economic opportunity that just happens to be in front of us, which is hockey, but it was gymnastics, it's hockey right now, and it should be many other things that we take the lead on to bring people to the state, because they will enjoy the state for many years to come once they get exposed to seeing the things we offer in the different seasons we do. And I think it's a fantastic opportunity to showcase it. And I'm honored to be adding my name to this bill and support it. And I think it's fantastic for the state of Minnesota.
Thank you. Again, seeing no other member questions, this is an important item. We are by far the state of hockey. This is a good idea. I think at some point, kind of getting to a little bit with maybe what Chair Pinto was saying, too, down the road, it's still a big ask. $5 million of taxpayer dollars in a time where we don't have a lot to give. This is a challenge, but this is a priority. And I think we're going to do everything we can to kind of continue to work on this. I'm going to just let our bill authors wrap up the bill and final comments. So go ahead and address 10007.
Thank you, Chair Baker, and thank you to the members for a really good discussion on this. You know, and I realize that money is tight around the Capitol this year, but I think when money is tight, it's really important to focus in on what's going to generate the highest return on investment for those dollars that we do spend. And when you look at the $75 million anticipated economic impact from this bill, you look at previous events. You know, during the women's and men's Big Ten basketball tournament, we had the highest hotel occupancy in Minneapolis since 2019. This particular tournament is coming at a time when, you know, in the middle, end of December, early January, when hotel occupancy is at its lowest in St. Paul. So this is really going to be, to Representative Zalesnikar's point, an economic engine. As Ms. Blackshaw said, we've got the momentum because of some of these successful events we've held in the past. Let's keep the momentum going by making the investment in this event and those future events to come for the sake of the whole state of Minnesota.
Any final comments, Rep. Whitty?
I would just echo what Representative Norris said, and this is showcasing Minnesota's best, not just around the country, but around the world. And people are going to be watching this tournament. And that's the opportunity we have in front of us. And we've earned it because we're the state of hockey. And we had to compete against another city that I know drove some people crazy that we were even in the same conversation. But this will affect all of throughout the state, not just Minneapolis, St. Paul, but out into the suburbs and in greater Minnesota and all four corners. It will affect our hotels, our bars, restaurants that could use that boost, and all the other groups and the travel in Minneapolis, St. Paul. The hockey is what's going to bring them, but we're going to showcase more of what Minnesota's about. And I think that's where we can continue to have continue events. And the more events we have, we show the best of Minnesota. So I appreciate your guys' time and support. Thank you.
Thank you very much, members. Again, I want to thank our testifiers today, Mayor Calvin. Carter, thank you for coming in. And Coach Nanny, it's been a pleasure to have you here this morning with us. And Ms. Blackshaw, thank you so much for attending. With that, the chair will again renew or just remind the members we'll consider holding over House File 1007 for further inclusion in a future bill. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, members, next up, we've got House File 1152 with Representative Peter Johnson. If you'd take the stand, please, and we'll invite our friends from Explore Minnesota to the table. Welcome, Representative, to your committee. The chair recognizes that Representative Pete Johnson will move House File 1152 for further consideration. So, to your bill.
Thank you, Chair Baker, Chair Pinto, members of the committee. It's my pleasure to present House File 1152, which updates Minnesota Statute 116U to reflect the evolving mission of Explore Minnesota. Traditionally focused on tourism, Explore Minnesota has played a crucial role in promoting our state as a top destination. However, its mission has expanded to include business development, outdoor recreation, film production, and promotion, the broader economic opportunity efforts. The bill ensures that the agency's statutory language aligns with its current work, clarifying existing provisions, removing redundancies, and strengthening its ability to market Minnesota not just for tourism, but as a place to live, work, and invest. To provide more details, I'm pleased to introduce Lauren Bennett McGinty, Executive Director of Explore Minnesota. Under her leadership, the agency has been working to showcase all that Minnesota has to offer to visitors, businesses, and new talent. I'll now turn it over to the Executive Director to walk us through the specifics of House File 1152.
Good morning, Ms. McGinty. Welcome, and please introduce yourself and proceed.
Thank you, Chair Baker. My name is Lauren Bennett McGinty, Executive Director of Explore Minnesota. Happy to be back. As I gave our agency overview a few weeks ago, you all saw all the great work we're doing. This bill just aims to clarify that. Honestly, we had many things rewritten in multiple different ways in multiple different locations, so we decided to wrap all of those things up into the mission of Explore Minnesota. And again, it's just clarifying and simplifying. I will also add that many of the items mentioned include including film, outdoor recreation, business attraction, and workforce attraction, are all marketing components. So we are not out in the field talking to businesses specifically and asking them to invest. We are marketing how great of a state Minnesota is, and it all sort of comes together, and it all starts with a visit. So tourism is the lens in which we view everything, and then we kind of promote from there. So we have created all of these different items, and it really makes sense that we just clarify it in statute rather than having it sort of scattered throughout. And then the only other piece in there would be the clarifying of the promotional authority. And I just want to make sure that folks understand that at Explore Minnesota, we have very unique marketing needs. And unfortunately, sometimes at the state, contracting for those needs can be quite challenging when you're working with freelance writers, photographers, other artists in the community who maybe don't have the ability to fill out an RFP or wait, or we don't have the ability to wait many, many months to get them on staff or contract with them to do these unique needs. So this is just clarifying our ability to be a little bit more nimble and contract with individuals who, you know, we can get on staff, or not on staff, excuse me, we can get under contract quicker to do writing and photography, video, any other kinds of things that we do in the marketing space that traditionally the state itself does not often work with. So that's sort of the clarifying piece there.
Thank you. Are there other members of the audience that wish to speak to the bill? Seeing none, we'll go to member questions. I have maybe just a quick question here first. Director, I guess the current process for you then, it looks like this will broaden your authority a little bit to start making some decisions internally with Explore Minnesota versus maybe what, going to Commissioner Abdi to get some approval. Tell me what's changing now with your approval to sort of make decisions more so in your department. What's happening now and what will change that decision? Ms. McGiddy.
Thank you, Chair. Actually, we currently don't move through the Commissioner of Deed to get approval on contracting. For large contracts, we continue to follow the state's guidelines. We work with MMB or administration as needed, as well as legal counsel, depending on what the contract is. So this doesn't move us out of that type of work. We, of course, adhere to all of the contracting requirements, and we make sure that we check in with the authorities that be to make those contracts work. This only allows us to more quickly contract with small dollar amount contracts. So thinking people, perhaps we get a writer on for an entire year, and that contract maybe is $10,000 for the year or something similar to that, so that they can write multiple articles for us and we can include it in multiple places like our website or our travel guide or our newsletter. So those are components that allow us to be a little bit more nimble and not necessarily have to kind of go through the entire RFP process. But I will say that's it's just not as often that we're doing that. When we know we have a big contract we have to do, we of course go through the RFP process and again work with MMB and administration to make sure that we are following all of the rules and doing it the right way. So we absolutely have no interest in going outside of that or expanding that kind of authority.
Thank you. Representative Bakeberg.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Director, for coming. So I represent the communities of Prior Lake, Jordan, Shakopee, and I think you probably know where I'm going to go with this question. So within, in and around my district that I have the honor to represent, we have Canterbury Park, which is just outside of Canterbury. There's a huge amphitheater being built for outdoor concerts. We have Mystic Lake, Valley Fair, the Renaissance Festival, Prior Lake, Spring Lake, the Mini Met Baseball Park in Jordan, and the Candy Store. So huge tourist destinations in our region, which is a huge economic driver for in and around Scott County. So on line 1.4, tourism is stricken. And you talked about in your opening comments that tourism is the lens that we view everything. So can you provide clarity about how this restructuring in the overall bill will impact the current dedicated funds that all of those places in and around the district that I represent currently partner with to promote marketing and expansion. So can you talk about how that restructuring will impact your current promotional work that you do?
Sure. Ms. Bennett McGinty. Yep.
Sorry, it's been a few weeks. Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Representative. Yes. So technically, we have been doing those other items for the last several years, and I will say it has not impacted our base budget at all. Actually, tourism continues to remain strong and increased over the last several years, the funding for it has. Additionally, film has its own separate budget, so that doesn't come out of our base budget. And the business and workforce attraction pieces were one-time funded in 2023, and that funding will cease at the end of this biennium, and therefore those pieces, while in statute, are not currently funded. We have created all of the materials and collateral for those projects, and those are being used by other state agencies right now, and hopefully at some point we'll be able to kind of work with other statewide associations to be able to kind of use those as well. But as of right now, it exists in statute should it be funded in the future, but it does not take funding away from the tourism component. Again, the striking of the word tourism is not to say we aren't doing tourism. It remains the same, remains intact as it is. And in fact, as in in the 2023 session, there was funding put forward for 26-27 that goes to our base budget. So in fact, it is increasing. And again, tourism kind of remains that core focus of ours. I will say that when we worked with the reviser, they had suggested the way we formatted the bill. Tourism is not being stricken. It's just being rolled up in a different way. But again, that budget remains intact, and those other pieces are funded separately.
Representative Aikberg.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Director. So what I just to make sure I hear this right, film has its own budget. It's not part of the base budget. So can you talk about what percent of the budget and staff will continue to be dedicated to kind of the traditional tourism that's so important to my district?
Ms. Bennett McGinty.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Representative. Yes, so I don't have the exact percentage, but currently we have one person that is full-time dedicated to the sort of business attraction, workforce attraction piece, and we have a few other employees that are part-time working on those items. But again, most of that work is actually being done in conjunction with tourism, and then in terms of the rest of the agency, we have 55 staff members, and of those 55 staff members, I guess you could say that 54 of them work specifically on tourism with about three of them working some of the time on business and workforce attraction currently, and that will, again, go down significantly at the end of this fiscal year.
Representative Aikberg. And to that, maybe I don't have anybody else on the list right now, but to that follow-up question, the business expansion then, there was one-time money. So what is the plan when that money actually ends now? Is the department going to get a little smaller? Will they be incorporated with something else? What is the plan for those people that were hired for that expansion? Ms. McGinty.
Thank you, Chair. So knowing that that was one-time funding, we purposefully hired one individual to support that. And then again, we have a few other folks who are working on that. Of course, a lot of the work that is done when it comes to marketing campaigns is done with an external vendor. So of course, that contract is either reduced or eliminated. As we move forward, our primary goal is to basically hand off many of the collateral pieces that we've created to DEED and other state agencies to use in the different work that they do, whether it's going to conferences or talking directly to businesses or on different state websites. Our exploreminnesota.com/live website will be maintained, but again, it's all built and it's ready. The nice thing about workforce attraction and business attraction is that those messages don't need to change every season, right? Those are very evergreen messages. So again, should that effort be funded in the future, it is there, but we plan to spend a minimal amount of money maintaining and then also working with DEED on different public relations efforts to just kind of promote the quality of life in Minnesota.
Representative Pinto. Sorry, Chair Pendle.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. To reach around for my switch there. And first, Chair, the plan is to lay this over, right?
Yes,
I think
sir.
That's correct. All right, thank
yes.
you. Let me think. Because, Director, I may want to, as I'm looking at this and then looking at the current statute, I probably want to follow up with you a little bit about how things are structured. I noticed that 116U.06 Well, first, maybe I'll get to this. My understanding is that this is essentially catching up with, sort of having the statutes catch up with current practice, and doesn't change anything regarding funding. Can you just confirm that those two things are right?
Ms. Bennett-McGinty.
Chair Baker, Chair Pinto, that is correct. Yes, all of the things have been added sort of in the last couple years, including FILM and Explore Minnesota for Business. So now we're sort of just creating uniformity in the statute. It does not change the budget.
Chair Pinto.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. That makes sense to me. And so I guess as we're evaluating this, if we have issues with work that's being done, and this is statute that's just catching up with the work that you're currently doing, and definitely setting the money aside. I still think, as I say, I'm looking at the statutes, may want to talk to you a little bit. I'm noticing that right now there's a section that's specifically about Explore Minnesota Tourism. We're seeing that in Section 2 of the bill. There's actually a separate section about Explore Minnesota for Business, which is sort of remaining in place. So I don't know if you would want to have still keep a section on Explore Minnesota for Tourism. Anyway, since it's being laid over, we can talk about that. But I'd like to follow up with you about the drafting, assuming that if, in fact, this would move forward. So, but thank you, Representative Johnson, for carrying this. And thanks for your work, Director, just broadly to advance our state, including the tourism in our state. Yeah. Thanks so much.
Did you want to comment to that, Ms. McGinty, or not? It wasn't really a question. And it sounds like Chair Pinto will take it offline, but I think we're good there.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. I also can just say that we've gone back and forth with the reviser about the best way to format, and we're happy to have more conversations about it. You know, there's not always the perfect way to write statute, as I'm sure you're aware.
Mr. Chair.
Chair Pinto.
Maybe just Chair Baker probably won't be surprised to know that I have my opinions about the best way to structure it, and so we can have conversations, right. They won't be surprised to hear that, Chair Baker. Thank you.
Final member question is Representative Schultz.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Ms. McGinty. When looking at this bill, considering what was done the last 2 years, which it appears to have expanded the scope of the responsibilities of the agency, then looking at where we are today with a deficit on the horizon and as we are seeking to deal with that, one question would be, do we have a clear picture of what the roles and responsibilities of your agency are? And so secondarily to that, and this is the real question for you, is if this policy change isn't made this year, is there some way in which your agency will be impacted if this is not passed this year?
Ms. Bennett-McGinty.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Representative. I will say that our role continues to be to drive economic impact for the state of Minnesota. And our budget is thankfully in a great place moving forward. We are very happy with what we'll be moving forward with, given all of the things that are going on. So I think, you know, moving forward, I don't anticipate that our work will be changed significantly. Again, this did expand, but a lot of the funding went into developing materials, which are sort of that one-time piece, working with external vendors where a contract can be, like I said, reduced or eliminated. And then if the statute doesn't change, while I support organizing and cleanliness of a state statute, it does not impact the work that we're doing. So as of right now, it really, again, it's just housekeeping. It's meant to just clarify and clean things up. It is not meant to completely change what we're already working on.
Representative Schultz.
Yes, just quickly, Mr. Chair, when I think about that, I'm thinking, you know, we're in a little bit of some tenuous waters here for the budget. And so I'm wondering if it's just beneficial for us to hold off on these changes, maybe to our policy, or if we have a clearer picture, you know, a year from now on this.
Thank you. All right. Seeing no other questions to members. Director, thank you for coming on board today. Representative Johnson, final comments.
Thank you, Chair Baker. House File 1152 is a needed update that ensures Explore Minnesota's mission and statutory language reflect the agency's expanded role in promoting our state's economic and cultural opportunities. By aligning its authority with the evolving work, we can maximize Minnesota's appeal to visitors, businesses, and new residents alike. Appreciate your time and consideration. Thank you for the support.
Thank you, Representative Pete Johnson, for bringing House File 1152 forward to the committee, which will be laid over for further consideration. Thank you again. Appreciate that. Okay, members, next up we've got Representative Wayne Johnson, House File 223058 for Special Olympics. We've got a couple testifiers if they want to move up to the table as well. And Representative Johnson will move that House File 2258 will be laid over for further consideration. So, Representative Wayne Johnson, please proceed.
Thank you, Chair Baker, Chair Pinto, and members. This is another opportunity or activity that will put Minnesota in the national spotlight. And any opportunity that we can put Minnesota in a positive spotlight is a good opportunity. So this bill requests $2 million to support the Special Olympics USA Games, which is coming to Minnesota the last week of June 2026, 15 months from now. Planning is well underway to make this an outstanding event, shining a bright national light on Minnesota and highlighting the achievements of athletes with intellectual and developmental disabilities. And while these games will be the largest athletic event in the country in 2026, and the athletic competitions are what Special Olympics is best known for, these games are so much more. In addition to the on-field activities, the games have three key priorities for activities off the field. One of these key priorities is the area of employment of athletes. And such, the games will include multiple events and resources for both athletes and corporate partners to address the statistics of underemployment of people with intellectual and developmental disabilities. The games provide a platform to uplift Minnesotans and Americans from all 50 states with intellectual disabilities. The games will create a massive economic impact on our state, in the hospitality industry, and more. And the games are an opportunity to showcase the best of Minnesota to a national audience. Now I'll turn it over to my testifiers, Christy Sovereign, CEO of the 2026 Games, and Eric Anderson, a Special Olympics athlete, to tell you more.
Welcome, and Ms. Sovereign, if you'd introduce yourself, please, and proceed with your testimony.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, thank you for the opportunity to be here and for your consideration of our bill. Thank you, Representative Johnson, for carrying the bill, and Representative Frazier for co-authoring. I'm Christy Sovereign, CEO of the 2026 Special Olympics USA Games. The most important thing that I'd like you to take away is that while Special Olympics USA Games will be anchored in sporting activity, what we're really hosting is a humanitarian event. Special Olympics' mission is to improve the lives of people with intellectual disability, and it does so with a focus both on and off the field. On the field, we'll host 16 sporting competitions that'll put Minnesota on a national stage. Off the field, three priorities will be advanced: athlete health and wellness, youth inclusion, and athlete employment, which is specifically what brings us here today. Only 18.5% of people with intellectual disability are employed to the level of their ability. So it speaks to a crisis of under and unemployment in this population. So we're looking for funding to support unified work initiatives at the games, which would include executing two unified work forums for corporate partners. We're looking to create tools and provide education for Minnesota companies so that they can increase employment in the ID community. We're also looking to host a forum for athletes and their families during the games to help athletes develop their skills, like resume writing, interviewing, help with their LinkedIn profiles, et cetera, to help better position them for employment. And finally, we're planning to open a pop-up store at the Mall of America with the goal of providing unified work for a team of Special Olympics athletes and volunteers, and putting unified work on display for the 100,000-plus visitors and fans that are expected to visit Minnesota that last week in June 2026. The games are expected to generate an economic impact of between $75 and $100 million. But the games provide a powerful platform, moreover, which we're looking to use to address an underserved community. Our hope is to enable and educate what is required to create meaningful work, thereby resetting the trajectory of inclusive employment in our state. Thank you. And Mr. Chair, at this time, Eric Anderson is prepared to say a few words on behalf of the athletes.
Welcome, Mr. Anderson, to the committee. Please introduce yourself and proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. My name is Eric Anderson, and I'm a proud athlete of Special Olympics Minnesota. I had the honor of representing Team Minnesota in the 2006 and 2022 USA Games, and had been working for Special Olympics Minnesota for more than 12 years. On behalf of 3,000 Special Olympic athletes that will participate in the 2026 USA Games, I'm here today to share their voices and to champion for their abilities in the workplace. Hosting the 2026 USA Games will be an incredible, it will put Minnesota on the national stage and shine the light on abilities of the people who have intellectual disabilities. We want the 2026 U.S. Games to be a life-changing for the state of Minnesota. The Unified Work Summit that we are planning is focused on increasing the employment of people who have intellectual disabilities. I'm proud to work at Special Olympics Minnesota, and I want to see others like me have the chance to be part of the Minnesota workforce. This is a special movement in time for our athletes and the community to come together as one Minnesota. We have the opportunity to advance the mission of Special Olympics and showcase Minnesota as a unified place where people both work and play together. I'm proud to be an athlete messenger and hopefully for a more inclusive world. Mr. Chair and members of the committee, thank you for considering our funding request.
Thank you very much, Mr. Anderson. I appreciate you being here today. Mr. Anderson, if I could ask, are you an athlete in a specific sport?
Basketball and golf.
Basketball and golf. Thank you. I wanted to ask that question. So thank you very much. Any member questions today? That's all we have. Actually, I should see, is there anybody in the audience that would like to speak to this bill? Seeing none, Representative Zalesnikar.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you, Representative Johnson, for bringing this bill, and thank you to the testifiers. I think this is just another fantastic opportunity for Minnesota to showcase, and what I really like is the opportunity of giving workforce exposure to disabilities and to support the Special Olympics. It has so many aspects of having a national stage here in Minnesota, and to really showcase all the aspects beyond sports. And so I commend you for what you're doing and look forward to it. It's another great day for Minnesota. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Further up, Chair Pinto.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Representative Johnson, for bringing this forward, and to both of your testifiers for your work and your advocacy. I had a similar question as the one I'd asked, the series of questions to the World Junior Hockey Tournament, because it sounds like this has been announced, and so it's going to happen. Can you just talk about kind of what $2 million is getting, what it will go to, and I suppose also if the funds aren't appropriated, you know, what the impact of that will be?
To the testifier.
Yes, thank you. I appreciate your question. The $2 million are expected to support, or $1.5 million of the $2 million are expected out of the general fund, or are requested out of the general fund, to support the overall event. So specifically, housing and dining for athletes, the athlete experience, right, putting the event on. The $500,000 also represented in our ask is specifically for the unified work activities that I spoke of.
Chair Pinto.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So let me think. So regarding the first one, because the event has been announced, and so if the funds were not appropriated, sort of what would happen then? I mean, I assume athletes still need housing and food and all, and so if you can just talk about kind of what the impact would be, how you would run the event, or what would happen without those funds.
Ms. Sovereign.
Yes, thank you. If the money isn't raised in total, or if all the money doesn't come forward, obviously we'll still be prioritizing athlete housing and dining and the athlete experience. What we'd be starting to have to make choices around is some of the special events that surround the sporting activities. So for example, how do we dial back on opening ceremonies?
Okay.
Right? Is there a lesser profile of talent we bring in? How do we think differently about some of the off-time activities that are provided in Athlete Village, et cetera, et cetera? And certainly, if we really fall short of monies, some of these very legacy activities that we're talking about, to really be good stewards of the mission and stewards of our state, are ones that we'd have to consider from a scope perspective, too.
Thank you, Chair Pinnell.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So it sounds like, and you referenced if the $1.5 million or funds aren't raised, so I gather that in addition to seeking the state funding, it sounds like there's also, and I gather there would be, also philanthropic dollars being raised as well to try to accomplish these things.
Yes.
Thank you, Ms. Sovereign.
Okay, yep. Good.
Thank you. Our about 10% of our budget is what we're asking for the state. The other 90% will be privately raised.
Okay, good.
Chair Pinnell.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think that's all. Thank you so much again to all of you. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Other member questions at this time? Seeing none, Representative Johnson, final comments on the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, Chair Baker. I'd like to recognize Representative Frazier. Thank you for co-authoring and working to bring this bipartisan, wonderful event provide this bill forward so we can help with the funding for this event. June is a wonderful month in Minnesota. So to be able to showcase Minnesota outside and with these activities in June would be a great opportunity and would really reflect on the Minnesota values. And so thank you for the opportunity to bring this forward to you. I hope you support it. I think it would be a great showcase to show what Minnesota is all about. Thank you.
Representative Johnson, thank you for bringing House File 2258 to the committee. This will be laid over for further consideration. Thank you very much for coming in today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good luck this summer, Mr. Anderson. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Member, our final bill up today is House File 1671. Chair Pinto will be bringing that forward. And I believe the chair has an amendment, an author's amendment, to sort of get the bill in the way you'd like to have that. So feel free to explain in any of your manner, Chair Pinto.
Thank you so much, Chair Baker. Yeah, so I move House File 1671, first of all. I think the plan is for referral to the Judiciary Committee.
That is correct, yes. This is on its way.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And then I do move the A1 amendment, and I'll just briefly explain that the administration's – so, first of all, House File 1671 contains the Department of Labor and Industries policy bill for the session. I'm carrying in my capacity as co-chair of the committee. The couple sections in the bill relate to the sub-minimum wage that is currently in – that can be paid to certain employees. There are folks who feel very strongly about removing that, and there's some – from our law, and there's some folks – who believe strongly that that should remain in place, recognizing that there's disagreement on that and just the nature of the session. The A1 amendment removes that provision from the bill. As I say, I know that I've certainly heard from some folks who are very disappointed in the removal of that, but we're also recognizing that there's strong feelings on the other side as well. So I'd ask the committee's approval of the A1 amendment to take those sections out, and then we're focus on the rest of the bill, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Chair Pinto, any further comments or questions on the amendment as presented? Seeing none, all those in favor of amending the bill with the amendment, A1 amendment, please signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? The bill is amended as presented, and to your amended bill, Chair Pinto.
Thank you so much, Mr. Chair. Yeah, and I think what I'd like to do probably at this point is bring up the folks who actually proposed the rest of the bill, which is DLI. I'm the vessel here.
Yeah, Mr. Moore, so. Welcome to the committee. Please introduce yourself and continue.
Thank you, Chair Baker and members of the committee. My name is Josiah Moore, and I'm the legislative director at the Department of Labor and Industry. I'm here to testify in support of House File 1671, the department's policy and technical bill. I'll start by noting that the department is disappointed to see the deletion of the portions of the bill eliminating the sub-minimum wage for people with disabilities. The department does see the minimum wage as the floor for all workers in the state, regardless of disability status. That being said, I do appreciate the author's clear communication on that change ahead of committee today. So appreciate that. So remaining in the bill, starting in section 2, there is some new authority for DLI to apply for a temporary restraining order, which restrains an employer from further violations of employment laws under DLI's jurisdiction. So this temporary restraining order would require an employer to come into compliance with whatever law was being violated, whatever law was in question. So currently, DLI only has this authority to issue a temporary restraining order for child labor, violations of the Child Labor Act. But some violations, including, for example, violations of the Women's Economic Security Act or retaliation, are so time-sensitive that irreparable damage could be done to a worker by the time a full investigation is done and the department's compliance order process plays out. So, for example, if a pregnant worker is being denied pregnancy accommodations and the department goes through the full investigation and compliance order process, the pregnant worker may have given birth by the time the department is able to take action, and that doesn't really help the pregnant worker get their workplace rights. So something like this temporary restraining order in this bill would help the department make a quick intervention to make sure that pregnancy accommodation right in the workplace is guaranteed. The other remaining portion of the bill includes construction codes and licensing technical provisions in sections 3 through 6. These sections really just clean up incorrect references, update statutory references to the National Electrical Code for better conformity, and clarify the scope of an exemption from electrical licensing for electrical utilities. Thanks for the opportunity to testify in support of this bill, and I'll remain for any questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Moore. Anybody else in the audience that wishes to testify in favor or opposition of this bill, now would be your time to come forward. And seeing nobody in the audience, we'll close that and bring it to member questions. Members, any questions for Chair Pinto or the testifier? Seeing none. Big bill, moving on to judiciary. Representative Pinto, Chair Pinto, your final thoughts.
It's a great bill.
It's a great bill.
Please vote in favor, Mr. Chair, at all.
And again, Chair Pinto will renew his motion to move House File 1671 onto the Judiciary Committee. A little bit tough this morning. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? House File 1671 is on its way. Thank you very much, Chair Pinto. With that, members, this closes up today's work. Any highlights for tomorrow, Chair Pinto?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Yeah, and actually in the next 2 days, I think we're going to be hearing administration bills. Tomorrow we will hear the budget proposals from DEED and DLI. I think perhaps there might be maybe the DEED budget includes Explore Minnesota as well. I believe, Mr. Chair, you had planned on Thursday to hear the DEED policy bill. I'm seeing nodding.
Correct. Yes.
And so that will be coming up tomorrow. We'll also hear two bills from Representative Greenman relating to misclassification of workers. And one other bill, and we may seek to add, I know we're having conversations among the chairs about hearing funding bills, and may end up adding at least one more funding bill tomorrow. We're trying to figure out timing. It's so challenging with scheduling, but so we'll get that out. That bill would, of course, be laid over if that were added. So that's the plan for tomorrow, and moving on from there. Thank you, Chair.
Very good, members. With that, we are concluding our agenda today. Thank you. We are adjourned.